Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I got a good one for you. Riley Alston is here, the amazing country singer and songwriter. She's got an album she just released last year, and she's working on new music and has a single coming out soon. It's called Play in Church, and we're going to talk about that and a lot more, and had a really good time chatting with her. So here we go. Here she is. Here's Riley Alston. Now, I've been checking out your music, and I really like your voice and your, you know, your singing, playing, and you've got a unique voice. And but you're from Greenville, right?
I am.
Which is right up the road from me. I've been to Greenville many times. That's cool. You know, talking to these Southern girls that I've you know been around. I mean, in this area. That's right. Really cool, right? And it's really cool to have people like you doing well. And well, tell me this now. You got a brand new album out, right? How's that going?
It come out in August of last year. Mm-hmm. And we are actually about to release the third single off of it. And awesome. It's probably the one that I'm most excited about.
Well, tell me about that. Hey, I've heard about this single. Now, I want to know the story behind it and what your feelings are about it. So tell me about the single.
So the story behind it, it's not just one story. I told somebody the other day, we were joking. I'm one of those songwriters that you can say something to me or, you know, I lived a situation or whatever. And we were sitting around one night and we were talking about things that we had done or, you know, whatever in the past or whatnot. And I said, yep. I said, you know, you got one playing church with this person on Sunday like they wasn't with me last night. And I went, ooh, hold on. And so I was with another songwriter friend of mine and she's like, you got something there. And so I ended up, a lot of my songs come up with, you know, whether I'm mad, I write better when I'm mad at people. And so,
okay, Taylor Swift. No.
Well, no, it's like, now I mentioned this to somebody the other day. So I was in, I've been a bail bondsman. I've been in law enforcement, you know, whatever, for some aspect of whatnot. And I was joking with someone the other day and said, being a songwriter is a lot like a police officer. Anything you say can and will be used against you.
It's true.
Just a matter of how you look at it. So playing church is, it's one of my more like spunkier kind of songs. And I don't know, I guess I'm excited to finally let one of my little spunky sides come out, not my so serious side.
Right. And talking about that, you know, were the songs from this album, all of them really what you've been through, or have you had to stretch it in your mind to go outside the box on some of the songs, or do you just kind of stay in what you know as according to your feelings and stuff?
A lot of the songs, 90% of them, because on the album there's 10 songs I wrote or had a part. I had a part in writing. I got help with one song. One song was a cover, and then the other 8 songs I wrote, you know, by myself. And it's 90% of them, it's either something I've been through. Like I said, I write better when I'm upset, mad, or whatever about a situation. And so it's 90% of it is something I've been through.
Right. Well, you know, being in a smaller town, you know, as opposed to say Nashville or New York or something, you know, you write a song and it could be anybody. But if you're writing songs about true things, are there people that go, hey, I know who you're talking about?
I have that a lot. Oh boy. Yeah, I have that a lot. I have a lot where people are like, oh, I know who that song's about, or, you know, and they, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not.
Right.
It varies.
Well, it's like the playing church guy. Is he going to be like, hey, you know, and when you
you sell a lot of copies and of the album, and you go, it goes big, right? And then he's like, "That's me. I want half the money, man."
Well, I mean, that's one of those songs that you really don't want to admit if it's about you or not. That's like, for example, there's a song on the album called "Backseat to the Bottle," and the guy that that's about knows it's about him. And if he comes to a show or something, he's like, "Hey, play my song." That's not something you want to go and tell people, "Hey, that song's about me."
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I guess whatever makes him happy, right? Everybody's looking at him like, okay.
Right. You look at them and be like, "Are you serious?
Yeah,
Really?"
right. Well, I guess you gotta own it if you want it. Well, tell me this, how did you get to be where you're at? How did you when you were younger, I guess you just really loved music and country music. And how did you get involved in that?
So my daddy, when I was younger, my daddy brought me up on like the good stuff, the George Jones, Conway Twitty. My papa actually served with George Jones. I got to tell Georgette, his daughter, this story last year when we headlined the same venue. My pawpaw used to go watch George sing, and then when they throw dollars or change or whatever on the stage, my pawpaw would pick it up for him. So my daddy brought me up on that stuff, and then I was real big into like Loretta Lynn and the Judds. When I was, 10, 11 years old, my first concert was getting to go watch Loretta Lynn, and I dragged my mother with me. Now, my mother is not a country person. My mother likes Fleetwood Mac and Journey and Eagles. Like, so I have one parent that likes this music and one parent likes the other. So I have, I guess a bunch of diversity. And so I remember at 11 years old, I took my mom, well, made my mom take me. We went and watched Loretta Lynn, and this woman keeps turning around staring at me. And my mom's like, "Can I help you? Is there a reason you're staring at my kid?" And she's like, "I'm just amazed that a child that young knows every word to every Loretta Lynn song. Because here I am singing 'You Ain't Woman Enough,' like I got some man that I've, worried about somebody taking." And
Well, that's
so I
cool.
started playing guitar at 8. I joined my first band when I was 18. And then, honestly, and all, like all jokes aside, I would quit music and then I'd come back. Then I'd quit and then I'd come back. So it doesn't matter how many times I've, okay, well, I want to go try this. I've always come back to music. And then I ended up last year getting recognized on Facebook Live because I do a lot of my stuff on Facebook. And then I got contacted by Grace Records. And I ended up signing with them on February 6th of last year.
Awesome. That had to be a exciting moment for you, right?
It was crazy. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, who gets noticed on Facebook? But it happens. So,
Miracles happen and
right.
blessings happen every day. That's really cool. Yeah. So tell me this though. You said you just kind of quit. What took over your mind when you were just like so down and thought, I'm not going to do this anymore?
Well, for one, I was 18. When you're 18, you don't know what you want. You really don't. And I preach that to my, to people now. I'm like, look, 18, I didn't really know what I wanted till I got older. And then I had my dad died when I was 19. And so I didn't at that point, I was like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care anymore. And then I finally realized, I was like, no, that's music's what I want to do. Music's, what keeps me sane, so to say. And so I've always come back, and it's been, songwriting's been therapy. So I've always come back to it.
Awesome. And I know everybody in your area, it's always cool to hear about successful people in the area, moving up the ladder. Have there been people that weren't so happy that kind of were jealous? I know that happens sometimes. Or is there people like, yeah, who does she think she is?
Trying to think how I can. There's
Uh-oh.
actually a song on the album about that.
Okay.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of how to word this. There have been people that I've heard oh, she thinks she's the best one in the business around here, or she thinks she's so great and perfect and this and that. Honestly, if you meet me, I'm probably one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. I'm very hard on myself. I don't think that I'm, that great or whatever. But then you go and you have these people that throw shade at you, and then they're mad because I work really hard. I've always worked really hard. And then to have, for example, other artists in the area, oh, she thinks she's great because she's working this, that, and the other. I'm working that because I got where I got from working this hard.
Right.
So there's a song on the album called Watch What Happens, where I pretty much tell him, go ahead, keep running that mouth of yours, and I'll keep kicking down doors. And
Yeah, that's cool. Well, it's probably because they're not doing anything with their career, right? That's why they're jealous of you.
well, my thing is, and I have preached this to every, like, if I have an up and coming, or if I have somebody, hey, Riley, you've been in the, because I've been doing music since I was 18. I won't give my age now, but I'm in my 30s. So, I mean, you can do your math. But, I've had people, what would you advise, somebody coming up? Don't burn your bridges, because you never know when you're going to need to go back across that bridge. And then, like, I have watched a lot of up and comings, I guess, obliterate those bridges, so to say.
Wow. Oh, don't burn the bridges and don't mention the name of the person in your song. Just kind
Don't
of
mention the name. Don't throw your producer under the bus on a podcast.
Yeah, right. Never do that.
A lot of them, I want to look at them and be like, get you a PR person because you don't know when
Well,
to shut up.
sometimes, you need to not say everything,
Right. And it's so, I get when you have an interview and it's, you're nervous and, oh gosh, I don't want to, what do I do? What do I say here? It's kind of, don't, at the same time, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Watch what you say. My biggest thing too is a dog or a lion doesn't have to tell you it's a lion. You don't
That's
have to
true.
go out and brag, 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 brag. You just don't have to.
That's right. Well, as you're moving up this ladder, now, have there been some harder times? Have there been some situations that you faced that you didn't realize it was that hard as you got into the business side or understanding some things?
A lot of it is, I mean, as you go on, you get told no a lot. I had to learn that no's not necessarily the end of the road. But no doesn't mean, no doesn't mean no. And then, if it doesn't work out here, there can be a different avenue you can go. But it's, I guess I've had to really learn about not giving up. Because, like I said, I've been doing this since I was 18, and I didn't get any further until, my 30s. So,
Cool. Yeah. Sometimes it takes time to get where you
right.
want to be. And that's hope for people that are older because, there's some people that are 18 going, I haven't made it yet. And they don't realize it takes some time.
And that's how I was, in all honesty. That's how I was. I was really frustrated. I'm thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be this overnight sensation. I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. And I didn't get there. And then I think a lot of that, back to go and, me quitting music, it's not an overnight thing. It's not an overnight thing. You don't get there overnight. And in all honesty, when you get there, you still have to work as hard as you did
Right.
before you got there to stay there. And people don't understand that. They're like, push and push and push. I'm gonna push whether I'm there or whether I'm not.
Right. That's good. And as you've been going to shows and doing shows, what has been a show that you've really enjoyed that is so memorable that you kind of thought to yourself, wow, I can't believe I'm here doing this?
Probably the Troubadour was one when I got to sing at the Troubadour. And in all honesty, it wasn't even my part of, I got to do my songs on the Troubadour, but it was being able to sing backup for Barbara Mandrell's sister, Earlene.
Oh, cool.
And having her husband, Pat, was my producer. So that was a big thing. Opening for Ashton, getting to know Ashton was a big thing. Because Ashton's actually, and a lot of people don't know this, Ashton is a lot of the reason I got into songwriting.
Awesome.
Her first album, I know, didn't leave my truck for the first 8 months. And so I've spent a many a dirt roads, you know, listening to Ashton Shepherd. So getting to open up for her and getting to know her, opening up for Taylor Austin Dye and getting to know her has been pretty cool. So there's been a lot of, I don't think I could pinpoint just one thing.
Well, that's good. And it's going to keep getting better and better. Is there like a dream person that you want to work with?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. My dream, oh gosh, that is so hard. There's anybody from May Estes, who's up and coming to Winona, you know, because she's always been one of my favorites. Ashley McBride probably has to be up there at the top of the list. I love her.
Awesome. Well, that, you know, I mean, things happen, you know, like you said, you're on Facebook and that, you know, you get this message. Talk about that again, about how the record company reached out to you. How was that experience and how long did it take for everything to kind of click and you go, this is real? And what all did you do after that?
I don't think it still clicked. In all honesty, I think a year later it hasn't clicked. They had reached out to me on Facebook and had asked if I could come up to Nashville. Nashville is only about a 4-hour ride. Well, just so happens when they wanted to meet, I was going to be coming back through Nashville from a visit up north. And so we come in, I went and I met with Miss Debbie and Mr. Jr. on February 5th. And I literally was like, let's sign. I'm ready to go. Let's sign right now. And then I was like, oh, wait, let me. I get excited about things really quick. And then there's something that clicks. It's like, hey, whoop, slow down a second. And so I took the contract back to the hotel, went and read over it, and I signed February 6th. And then I was in the studio the next month starting to record the album.
Awesome. How did the recording process go? Was that fun and actually getting to record the music? And how did you do all that?
I look like a big old fangirl, in all honesty, because I had – the keyboard player, and I don't want to butcher names because I'll be done told you somebody played this that played this. My keyboard player was with Dolly and Reba. The lead guitar player was Garth Brooks, lead guitar player. The bass player, he played bass for Delbert McClinton. So to get to hear stories about all these people that I looked up to and, you know, was amazing. And then so basically, I would play guitar, you know, just give them a raw version of here's what it sounds like. And so just to be able to chord it and play guitar and send Pat the thing and then to go in and actually hear everything come to life, it was just like, this is huge.
Right.
So it was really almost surreal. And then there were times that I cried because I was like, oh my gosh, that's my song. That's something that I've written that's been my baby because some of the songs on the album I did write when I was 18, 19 years old. So to have those songs for so long and then to have actual pros, you know, come in and work on it was like, whoa.
Yeah, right. I bet. How long did it take to record everything?
Ooh, we started recording, I believe, in March, and we had the album come out, I believe, in August 3rd. So it was quick. That was a quick process. About the same. I'm actually recording my second EP now, and it's been pretty quick, too, but I'm working with a different producer this go-round.
Okay. And what's been the fan reaction, especially locally, I mean, for people? Has it really taken off despite the haters?
It's really crazy when I go to Walmart. Like, for example, I went to Walmart one day and I had been out in the yard doing something. I didn't have on no makeup, you know, had on a bleach stained shirt where I'd been working in the yard. And I'm in Walmart and this woman stops me and she's like, can I ask you a question? And I'm thinking she's going to ask me where the toilet paper is or something. I was like, yeah, sure. And she goes, are you the girl that sings that song, My Side, that's on the radio? And I'm like, yes. And she goes, I know this is probably a bad time, but can I get a picture? And I'm like, oh gosh. So,
Can
I
you
mean,
autograph
it
my toilet paper? No.
right. I'm like, oh gosh. So, I mean, it's been really cool. And then I get videos. People send me videos of their kids singing my songs or,
Oh.
you know, or I have people, you know, this song meant this to me. This song meant that to me because I do write about a lot of real life stuff. I've got anything from drinking, cheating, child support. I mean, you name it, it's probably on that album.
I understand. Everybody can relate to those issues, I'm saying.
Right.
And that's what's so cool about music and country music, and especially being from this area, because people like us, we understand a lot more about each other, and it's so real. I mean, what do you think about being honest and authentic in your songs? I mean, is that important to you to be real in your
Yes,
songs?
that is very important. I'm as real as it gets. I mean, you see me at one place, you'll see me a month later. I'm the same person I was at that place. I try to be very transparent. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. I don't act like I'm perfect. So it is very, you know, I'm the type of person I've always, you know, if I listen to a song and I, you know, okay, wow, that's something I've went through. Or to me, that makes a song even more special, is if it's something that you've listened to that you're like, oh, I can relate to that, or oh, I've been through that. You know, it may not be the best situation, but you know, it's the way I think about it is if I can write a song about something and it helps somebody else get through it when, you know, maybe I didn't necessarily have, you know, somebody to help me get through it. I mean, then I'm doing my job. That's how I look at it.
Right. And that's got to mean a lot to you to hear probably stories of people saying that it's helped them, or you realize those things, right? That it's helped them out.
Right. Well, that's like, there's a song on the album called I Love Her More. And it talks about, it's a co-parenting song. It took a long while for me to get to that point where I could co-parent, but you know, and there's people out there that can, and there's people out there that can't. And it's, you know, how I've always told people is you have to love your kid or kids or whatever the situation may be more than you dislike the other parent or dislike the situation or the divorce or whatever. So that's been the one song that I've had people come to me and's like, okay, well, it made me realize I wasn't treating my ex-husband so well or my ex-wife so well or, you know, ex-girlfriend, whatever the case may be. So that's been one song that's been like, okay, wow, I wrote that and it helped people. So that's a big thing.
Awesome. Well, this new year we just start is, you know, February, although it's going fast sometimes, you know, but what goals do you have? I mean, I know you got some things going on, but what goals do you really want to hit before this year is up?
I would like to do a summer tour. We're currently planning it. I like to stay busy. I
Yeah.
like to stay busy a lot. I am, we're currently working on my next EP to hopefully release this year. Got the new single coming out. So it's, there's, I think tours and staying busy and new music. I love my first album, but I think it's time everybody hears the newer stuff. I'm actually trying to go a little different with this sound versus my last sound. So, kind of, I guess, rebranding, so to say.
Yeah, you'll see what happens, right? I think, you know,
Watch what happens,
yeah.
basically.
If it goes pew, you can go try something else.
Yep,
No.
well, let's try this.
All right.
And that's kind of, in all honesty, that's what it is. It's kind of like, okay, well, let's go and do, see what happens here. Because everybody, my last two singles, everybody's so used to the, oh, that's so sweet side. You know, like my side, they were like, oh, you know, tearjerker, you know, tugged at your heartstrings. And then the I Love Her More was like, oh, now I'm coming out with playing church that is not necessarily an all song,
Right. Well,
depending on how you look at it.
it's right. It's kind of like Carrie Underwood, you know, with her you know, Jesus, take the wheel. And then before he cheats, you know, because people are like, oh, Jesus. And then bash your truck. You know,
and that's honestly how I kind of feel with this one is, you know, I'm going from, you know, the, oh, I'll protect somebody and I won't tell them my side of the situation. And then here I am talking about playing church. I'm playing church with her on Sunday like you wasn't with me last night. So, I mean, and, we'll see what happens. So,
well, you know, it's real. I mean, it, you know, it's something to think about now. It's the truth. I mean, it's kind of like you're telling a story. You're not saying this is okay. You're saying this is the story about what happened.
Right, and it's life. Like you said, you know, it's life. It happens. You know, there are going to be some people that are on this side of it with the situation, and there's going to be some people that are on this side of the situation that are like, oops. But, I mean, I'm, like I said earlier, I'm very real. I'm very transparent. You know, am I going to go out and bash, you know, the situations? Because, like I said, it's not just about one situation, but am I going to go out and bash them? No, I'm not going to do that. It's not my place. So if you want to go out and, you know, be like, oh, well, this, you know, whatever. Mm-mm.
Right. You know, but telling stories, it's a big deal to tell stories about things and people, and the people that experience it or they've been through it, they can go, ah, I relate. Or the people that have it, they can take it as a story and go, that's a nice story, but a lot different than the slower song.
Right.
But and still a good song.
To me, there's not very many storytellers left. I mean, there's not. And that was kind of when I was in the studio, that was sort of mentioned. They were like, you know, you write stories kind of like Tammy and Loretta and Patsy. And, you know, I go, you know, I try to be, like I said, I try to be transparent, try to be real, try to be, okay, well, this is, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying there's some songs that I'm not saying I did completely go through. I could watch a movie on Netflix and be like, here we go. That makes, you know, sense. But 90% of it's something I've been through. You know, is it something that I'm necessarily proud of? Probably not. But it's those moments where you're not so proud that actually end up making them better songs.
That's just people like that. I mean, it's like drama. People want to hear you talk about dirt on somebody, or they want to hear something bad happen. That's just how people are. But just don't write a song that says, I killed a man yesterday because the cops are showing up.
Do not premeditate it quickly at all. And that's what gets me is, like you said, you know, everybody's about the drama, you know, expecting, oh, well, she's going to say this about so-and-so and such and yada, yada, yada. And that's like, you know, like I said earlier with Watch What Happens, certain people around here are going to know what that song's about. I'm not one that likes to give, how do I put this? I'm not one that likes to give recognition where recognition is salt, because there are a lot of people that go out there and yak, 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 wanting the recognition and wanting the attention that me talking about them gives, and I'm not about to do that.
Well, that's good. Good for you. You're careful with your words and others. You're like, let me put this, how can I put this? That's good, because some people just go blurt and it's over and it's crazy.
I had, for example, I had one person that I, back to the don't burn your bridges, you know, I would tell them, you know, watch your words, watch what you say. And, you know, it's, you don't ever want to go and, like I said, burn bridges or, you know, go. And a lot of it, like I said, I think is, if I go and say something about Jane Doe over here, for example, then Jane Doe is going to feel like, oh, well, Riley spoke my name. Riley gave me recognition. Riley made me important. You're only as important as, you know, whichever, but
yeah,
I'm very careful.
Hey, that's good. It's a good way to be. It's a good habit. Well, tell me this. I know that there's a lot of people that are trying to be, you know, singers, songwriters out there that are up and coming. They are you, when you were 18 and you had this big question mark in your mind, is there something that you could tell them, these up and coming artists that really have no clue, that they're kind of scared or they want to know? How do you get to where you are?
My biggest thing is don't pressure yourself to think it happens overnight, because it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Don't pressure yourself to, you know, okay, I didn't make it in 6 months. Okay, you didn't make it in 6 months. Big deal. The younger songwriters, I will tell them, and I've said this to a younger songwriter before, you know, and this is speaking from experience, being someone that started writing when I was 18. Your songs are going to get better the more you live life. As much as you want to think you lived life at 18 years old, you don't live life at 18 years old. Right. Well, let me take that back. Some do, some don't. My songs, such as Backseat, I wrote Backseat when I was 19. To look at Backseat that I wrote when I was 19 and to look at My Side that I wrote when I was 28, 29, or 29, I'm sorry. To look at a 10 years difference between songs is like, whoa. So, you know, my big thing is to, you know, live life and don't let life harden you. Don't get discouraged. Don't go thinking that, you know, it's going to be horrible, because it's not necessarily going to be that. It takes time. It takes hard work. That's another thing. You are not going to get anywhere sitting on your butt. Go out there, you know, perform. I still perform locally around some of my favorite places here. And in all honesty, some of my local places are my favorite places to play, because you get to build that relationship with your bartenders, your customers, your, you know, your people. And, you know, build your relationships. Don't ever think you're better than the next person. Don't ever think, you know, and that's a big thing, you know, don't go out there with your nose stuck up in the air thinking, oh, I sing better than such and such. No. Networking. Go and network, meet other people, meet other songwriters, because, you know, you may find another songwriter that you can bounce ideas off of if you get stuck. Because there's many times I'll go and I'll have an idea and be like, oh, I want to write this song. And then I get stuck and I'm like, oh, crap. And then I'll go and find another songwriter that can help me, you know, with an idea or whichever. So networking, don't give up. Work as hard as you can. And it's in this line of work, working hard, you're basically working 24/7 in this line of work. If you're not doing a show, you need to be on your social media, you know, keeping in contact with people. If you're not networking, you need to be working on booking stuff, you know, whether it's a podcast or a show or whichever. It's constant work and it makes you tired. But if it's what you want to do, then you'll do it.
That's right. Good. Good words for the up and comings out there. I know they're going to appreciate that. And that's cool. Like you said about Ashton, you know, and one day there'll be people saying Riley was the one that got me into music. Well, tell me this. You got some shows coming up or anything, or what you got going on coming up?
I do. I actually have a show tonight. When I get done here, I have to go to Ozark. I have Ozark, Alabama tonight at Benchmark at 7 o'clock. Luckily I have my calendar right here. I was going to say I have next Friday, but I actually took next Friday off to go to an Ashley McBride concert.
Well, that's understandable.
So the singer took off to go watch another singer. I have Bugsy's coming up and Enterprise. I have Killing Company coming up. That was this month. Bugsy's, Bandits. I'm in Sylacauga. I am in Waynesboro, Mississippi, coming up next month. My first time being there. At the Back Door Lounge. I have a lot coming up. I have a lot coming up, and I still have openings, so I'm constantly booking and trying to get done.
Awesome. Well, I hope all the best for you. And tell me this before we go, how can people find out more about you? You got a website that they can go to?
I do have a website. I have a website at www.RileyAustinMusic.com. I get on there every week and try to update my calendar. I have a Facebook page, Riley Austin Music Official. Because every time somebody looks it up, it may take them to somewhere I created 10 years ago. I have a Facebook page. I have Instagram. I have TikTok. I'm still learning TikTok. It's yeah, bad that I have to be taught TikTok, but I'm still learning it. But they can find me out there. And if they reach out, it's me they're getting. So.
Well, that's good enough. Well, I appreciate you talking to me today, and all the best to you in the future. And I hope to talk to you again and update everything, see how it's going, and see what all you're doing. But awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you have a great day, and have fun at the concert, the gig tonight, and tell everybody hello, and we'll see you soon.
All righty. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
And that wraps it up for another episode. Thanks for watching, everybody. Appreciate you. Riley Austin, very talented singer, songwriter. And that finishes up a little trio of female country stars. That was pretty cool, huh? And next week's going to be cool. You want to check me out next week, and I got some cool interviews lined up for you. And until next time, everybody, always remember to keep the music real.